Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Just back home for a few hours and fly to Calgary tonight and check out the game ones tonight, and then we get going tomorrow.
What did you think of the draft lottery last night?
Thrilling.
Yeah? Winners and losers for you.
Yeah, but thrilling. Those guys really presented themselves well, I thought.
It's just, they're in the entertainment business. They know how to entertain.
Man, somebody suggested it. I don't know who, but I'm like, they go, the Flyers should have had Gritty there. I'm like, it wouldn't have changed anything, but he would have done something stupid.
Yeah.
I know they can't make it a mockery, a sideshow, but there's got to be a way to jazz it up a bit. Like, Stan Bowman almost smiled.
Yeah.
When Chicago wasn't on the board, and that meant they went into the top three. Like, he almost did, and then he kind of quickly brought it back. But, Noodles, I heard you talking. I read an article today. So, like, the representatives of the teams are in a back room 2 hours before. They throw their phones in an envelope,
yep,
and they're cut off. They can't go to the bathroom. Like, they're stuck in there until the publicly announced teams, or it's publicly announced, and, you know, the draft. So, yeah, they've got a representative in the back, and they've got their GM or whoever sitting out front. But it's already done, but they don't know. They got to sit and wait. And I don't know. You'd think you'd find a way to do it just with a little bit more fun anyway.
A buddy of mine was in the back room and all that, the Austin Matthews one. And he said it was serious business. Like, this isn't something that they take lightly. Like, because, you know, everyone jokes, and, you know, Edmonton, you know, the balls are fixed, the fix is in and stuff. It is very serious. And I remember him saying, like, man, I've never seen a process like that. And you're right, Ray. It's, you know, locked in a room, phones, so that there's no texting, there's no communication whatsoever. He said it was quite cool, but very, very unnerving, because you're just sitting there.
Right, yeah, I guess, and you know what the rest of the hockey world is
right,
waiting to hear.
Exactly.
You know, you're in the know, so to speak, with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So, obviously the playoffs starting tonight, 5 games going tonight, and we were talking about this earlier where it seems to be a lot of similarities between the way the Leaf-Bruins series is being set up to that of the Jets-Blues series and the Golden Knights-Sharks series. Because, you know, Vegas, St. Louis, Boston have been playing so well. The Leafs, Winnipeg, San Jose have not been playing so well. But those three teams are really good teams that we all expected to be, you know, cup contenders. But when you consider those 6 teams, you know, when you throw all of them into the pot together, who do you feel best about?
You know what I'm having trouble with before I answer is that there's so little difference between the teams. A lot of times you'd like to feel better about your choice. But like as soon as for me anyway, as soon as I make a choice, I'm like, yeah, but I could see the other guys winning too.
Yep.
Like I could see both. I could see where Winnipeg all of a sudden locks in. They find their game with Morrissey and Byfuglien back. They get back to a more of a grind game instead of a softer rush game that they were playing. Like, I can see all of that happening. Then I'm like, yeah, but St. Louis says they don't lose anymore. Like, I think St. Louis is really good and really primed to do well, yet by this time next week, they might be on the ropes. Toronto, I can't get past the fact that they can't defend, and they haven't shown that they can defend. Like, I think they're good, but can they make Boston play their style of game? That's why I picked Boston, is that I think eventually they're going to break down Toronto defensively. Maybe they won't, but that's kind of what I see. And then if Martin Jones gives San Jose any goaltending, I think they've got a really good chance.
Well, Ray, Brian was talking earlier, and he's not complaining or disappointed, but he thinks it's the Toronto narrative, and it's maybe because of the past, what happened in 13, what happened last year, that some Torontonians, some media, some casual fans, it's almost like the Leafs just have no chance. And I know you were on the panel yesterday doing the preview show, and although you have Boston to win the series, you think it's going to be relatively close.
Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, what happened in 13 and 15 and last, like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, this is a whole new group. Even to last year, you can't ignore that Tavares is here and he wasn't last year. You can't ignore that one of Toronto's most trusted players last year was Thomas Plekanec, who was at the end of the road of a really good career. And this year, you brought Tavares in here because the hope is you could make other teams worry about the matchups against your top two centers. Now we'll just see if it happens. The part that concerns me is I just wish somewhere along the line I would have felt better about Toronto's game, as if they could have shown for 2 weeks or 3 weeks that, wow, all of a sudden Freddie Anderson was making four good saves a night instead of 14. But it just never happened. And I wonder if that's really kind of what they are, and that's where they get broken down in the series. But I don't see anybody in this series steamrolling the other. No chance.
I agree. And Ray, I wanted to actually climb on top of this because Brian also brought up a point where if that Boston roster was exactly the same, but they were just named the Florida Panthers, would you look at the series differently, or would you just still come back to the defensive play of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Me trying to be unbiased, I just said it's the Leafs play. It's not. I think Boston's roster is fantastic, and I think the Leafs roster is fantastic for the most part. Both of them. I think they have their weaknesses, but I don't care so much about just the word Boston or the city Boston, but I think there is a layer.
It's human nature.
It's in this market, it is. It's human nature.
You can't help
it. But ask Ray. Like, if you're looking at just Boston's roster and calling them the Florida Panthers, do you look at them different, and do you look at the Leafs' chances different?
I do. I would. And the reason I would, Noodles, is because we spend a lot of time listening to managers and, you know, at the end of the season, whatever they call them, autopsies of their season where they miss, or next year at training camp when a new GM is hired, and they all talk about, you know, we want to set a new culture, we want to change the culture, the Bruins culture is well established. There was a time in the 90s where they kind of lost their way, and took them a while to find their way back. They kind of lost whatever it is that they have, they lost. Now you just, you know, the old Bruins culture was hard work, beat the crap out of you, punch you in the mouth, and score enough goals to win. And now it's just, to me, it's like they've still got some remnants of that hard work, that blue collar. The city is the city, right? And that'll always be a prominent sports city in North America. But it's their culture, about the way that they have built their teams and the way they continue to build them, that makes it seem different to me than if it was just Florida, as the example you used.
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting to on both sides, because the opposite side of the coin is the Leafs have been a mess for a long time.
Right.
So they deserve the pessimism and the skepticism. You know, until you actually do it, people are going to doubt you. So, you know.
Brian, I just thought of this. Remember when the Detroit Red Wings were called the Dead Things?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We'd go in there, it was automatic point night.
Right, New Jersey, same thing.
And then all of a sudden it was Stanley Cup, best team in the league, Stanley, you know, like, it changed. And now they're, you know, 25 straight years they make the playoffs, now they're on the bottom of the heap again. And now they're trying to rebuild Hockey Town again. Yeah. It's hard. The Bruins have rebuilt their image to what it is now, where we look at it and go, man, this is a good hockey place. The players seem to buy into the front of the jersey. You know, like there's a culture that's established, and now we'll see if Toronto can break that down, because right now, to me, the difference is eventually the puck just goes in their net too easy.
Well, and that's just simply objective analysis. Like, that's just a fact. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a Bruins fan or a Leaf fan. That's just a fact, and there's no dancing around it.
Yeah.
And I want to make it clear. I think I've made it clear all week. The Bruins, the safe money's on Boston. I think they're the favorites because they've been more consistent. I think home ice is important. I do think the Leafs let them off the hook by just folding down the stretch. But, you know, when it's and this is two different conversations. Hockey analyst, you know, objective, no connection to it, hockey analyst, where I still think the psyche of, well, Leafs never do it, and the Bruins always do, factors in, and it should, because those are reputations that are natural and that have been built up over time. But it started from an anecdote, right? Like, I was speaking with a woman this morning who was like, yeah, I'm a Leaf fan, but they're playing the Bruins. They got no shot. I'm like, man.
Right.
Like, it's like that's the psychology of a lot of people here. And it's just, well, Boston's going to win because that's what happens.
Right.
And it's like, wow. Well, yeah, I can't fight you on it. In recent history, that's exactly what's happened.
Well, okay, so look at their defense, right? So tonight or tomorrow, Steven Kampfer's playing.
Yeah.
Does that throw fear into you?
No.
Of course not. Right, but he's part of that defense, and you go, man, that's a really good top four. And you know, like if you know, we've wrung a lot of hands this winter about Ozhiganov, and you know, through the injuries, and oh my gosh, look who they got in there now. And hey, Callie Rosen's up here, maybe he's the answer. And right, and at the end of the day, your top guys are going to carry the series.
Yeah,
and that's where Tavares and Matthews, they have to play Bergeron and Krejci to a standstill. Be awesome if they could outplay them, but at the very least, they can't get beat.
Well, and I think Brian's point, and I would agree with it too, is people are looking at this that this is Carolina Washington, like this is
and again, it's predictions. None of this matters.
No, you're right; it doesn't matter.
They are kind of. It's like no one's picking that.
What it is is. What you're saying, Brian, that is the attitude until it's changed.
They have to change it.
Until
it's
the team changes
it.
Yeah, it's not on people as fans. It's not on us as analysts or on our show. We can say what we want. Until we see something different, it's our opinion because it's either what we know or what we think we know about what we've seen so far.
You've got to own your own reputation.
Correct.
You build your own reputation.
Correct.
And both these teams have done that. The Bruins deserve a ton of credit because of what they've done consistently year after year after year.
But you know what? Who knows what life the series is going to take on. Toronto might just kick their ass tomorrow night. You never know.
Well, isn't it?
And they might build off it and kick their ass again. Their ass kicked.
How big is game one?
Massive. There's stats out there. The home team that wins game one, the record of winning the series is astronomical.
It's like 70%, isn't it?
It's something ridiculous.
Well, I think game one winners are 67%.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, and I'm like, oh, in 93, when we got to the semis, right, we lost game one of the first series and won. We won game two of the second series and won. And lost game three of the third series and lost. And so there's the 33% right across the board, right? We won one and lost, won one and won, lost one and lost. And so O said something that the reason I brought that up was that when you brought up that stat, O, it just tells us that the odds say one thing, but the series is not, it's not written on papers. It'll change. It'll have its own life. It'll become something that we might not expect. And for Toronto, they would love to be in the position they were in last year, going into the third period, however the hell you got there, but going into the third period of Game 7 with a chance to win.
Oh, you'd sign off on that in a nanosecond.
You would sign off on that right now.
Oh, today. Up 4-3 going into the third in Game 7 in Boston, I would sign off on that every single day of the week, twice on Sunday.
And just hope it's not the implosion again.
Right.
You'd go,
hope
wait a minute,
learned.
We've been here before. Maybe it can happen differently.
Yep. Hope Jake Muzzin, John Tavares add a different element, and Freddie Anderson, Jake Gardner have different third periods, the whole team for that matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at the matchup game, I think that's what a lot of people have been focused on up front. What do you think Bruce Cassidy intends on doing with the Tavares and Matthews line? Who do you think Bergeron is most likely to match up against games one and two in Boston?
I think they'll play Bergeron against Tavares.
Do you think Babcock will want that?
Yep.
Just to basically get a saw off. If you can tie it, you'll take it.
Well, I would be nervous about, more unsure about the Matthews line defensively than I would be about the Tavares line.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would, if they go Krejci and Matthews, I would say, okay, I'm okay with that. But I'd be worried that Bergeron and Matthews are going to go head to head. And then that puts a lot more heat on the wingers of those lines. And I'll take Marchand and Pastrnak all day over whoever the Leafs are going to line up with Matthews.
If Matthews gets Krejci, Krejci's a fantastic player. He's got a wealth of experience, knowledge, all that. But that should be Matthews' matchup where he says, you know what, I am going to take you to school. I'm going to take you to school.
He should win physically. Yeah. Just
say, I'm going to... You know what? Slap you around this ice, and good luck with that.
I totally agree, but I wonder if this is where Babcock can get creative,
right.
And if you can sneak in some cadre shifts with Krejci, and open up Matthews with Coyle or the fourth line. You know, get creative. It's more difficult on the road, but
yeah, I was going to say that's more likely at home, right?
Right. But sneak in some shifts is like that's the guy because I think Babcock would be fine with that. It's almost like a gentleman's agreement. Him and Cassidy, Tavares, Bergeron, all series. You guys right. figure it out. But then the real game, you know, the mind tricks begin once you start into the second, third, and fourth line.
Well, where it'll end up going off the rails a little bit as far as hard matches is because more and more over the last few years the zone starts and all that, when there's an offensive zone face-off, and it might be Charlie Coyle's line, Bergeron's line's going out there unless they just came off the ice.
Right.
And now you're going to have to adjust on the fly. And that's the part of the coaching where I think it matters the most in a series, is when your plan gets blown up, how do you adjust around what the other guy's doing, who's got the last change, how much do you want to take your guys out of their rotation? Because I'm sure Ole felt the same way, but, man, I hated it when we were sitting there and our line kept getting burned on a shift because the coach would say, oh, that's not your matchup. And you'd be like, damn, I've been sitting here for 5 minutes now. I need to get going. And that's where you got to be careful, too.
Ray, we're doing a – we've got Jimmy Benning in our new draft lottery.
Really?
Yes. We have a group assembled of 15 people in sports, and Jimmy Benning – is a part of it, to do a draft lottery for a total rebuild on their hairstyle. And Jimmy Benning is a part of our group, and we think he is a front runner to go for a total rebuild. We're doing a full draft lottery.
And it's not a retool on the fly, I've been told.
No, it's
scorched earth
of the salad.
So, like, are we talking, like, style, color, the whole bit?
No, it's people that are really struggling up top. Tiger Woods, Jimmy Benning.
Donald Trump,
Brian McCabe. So we're doing a lottery draft, getting closer to the actual NHL draft.
Well, I think there's probably some really good candidates. Mm-hmm. Steve Stricker.
Oh, the Strick.
Oh, God, is he in there? Put him in. We got to give.
I feel you could pull Donnie Trump out. I don't know if it's Donnie out.
Because
I think Donnie's got real hair.
Yeah, we don't want to get political here.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put Strick in there. We got Mark Davis in there.
Yeah, there's some.
We've got 1986.
Mark Davis is tough to beat.
Yeah, he's got an 18.5% chance of winning.
Anybody that chooses the Dumb and Dumber hairstyle is, you know, I mean, they got to go right near the leader.
Well, we got 1986 Ally Afraidy. He's making a push.
That's a good one too.
So, like this, it's a full salad rebuild based on, you know, if you win the draft lottery, because there are a lot of salads that are contaminated and they have to be changed.
Yeah,
it's got to be flushed out.
This is some of the best work you guys do, by the way.
Yes, we for the last hour.
Never mind
and a half.
This analysis about the playoffs crap.
Well, this is it. We've had about 400 people texting and tweeting in the last hour, and 399 have been like, this is hilarious. We got one guy saying, hey, you guys realize the playoffs start tonight? Like, can you get on the analysis and the real talk? And
No, we're good.
Salad rebuild draft lottery.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. At some point.
We got 3 hours. Games,
dude. Yeah, we got all day. We got all afternoon. All right, buddy. Well, safe travels
to Calgary.
We'll
talk to you from Calgary tomorrow.
Yep, we'll do that tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Later on.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.